It's 11:25 in the morning on April 21st, 2017. This is a message to make a track record. Oh, isn't that amazing? Here's a snake. You can almost hear it slithering up. Wow. Big black snake as I'm walking by just now making this message. Wow, that's not a coincidence. Wow, that's amazing. Whew. Thank you, Jesus Christ. I saw 666. And you know what? It was a snake on the run. Praise be to God. A snake on the run. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Yesterday, I'm working on what God's asking me to work on. And I am trying so hard to get this story written for Trusting God for Freedom, and I'm constantly battling over how much details to include and how much not to include. And the story just keeps getting bigger and bigger. Well, yesterday, I was working on some old Outlook PST files to go through emails from mine all the way back from 2003, and I found this one file that had like 7,000 some odd emails in it. When I deleted some junks and some ones that were like newsletters I had subscribed to, the number of emails left in this thing was 6,660 emails. From that point forward, I spent 5 minutes trying to delete more like spam and repetitive ones, and Outlook was just frozen. It would not, it would operate, but it wouldn't delete. They would just still be sitting there no matter how many times I click the box, it just stays there. And so I'm like, wow, this 666 is just going to stay there. Well, finally, I ended up closing the whole program and I quit for the day. This morning, I woke up heavy in heart because over a 24-hour period, I started feeling some disconnect from Persis, where Persis has a tendency to sometimes get quiet and walk away from something if she's not in agreement with it. And even though she doesn't argue with her language of her body, it can kind of feel like a little bit of contempt. So it just so happened that I went to bed just a few minutes before her. She's finishing up the other night, and I wanted to watch The Son of God. And she doesn't ever like watching the Bible movie or The Son of God so much. She, for some reason, she's just not, she doesn't like that so much. So I wanted to watch The Son of God, and I was watching in particular the crucifix part, and I'm just drawn into it. And she comes in the room, picks up her water and her phone, and then she turns around to leave the room. And I'm thinking she's just going to get water, and she leaves and never comes back. And instead, she sits out and reads for a while. And she was afraid to say anything to me, she said today, because, you know, I don't like that, and that I would, you know, I guess argue back with her or whatever she feels I might, you know, say, well, what's wrong with watching Jesus? All that stuff. So she just kind of, you know, quietly walked away. And she did this as a child. She would, if the food was given to her she didn't like, instead of grumbling about it, she would just quietly walk away and not eat. So I said, okay, Lord, I'm not going to be offended by this. I'm going to enjoy watching your crucifix and just immerse myself here in it and let her do what she needs to do. I'm going to deny myself and not say anything. I don't need to get upset or be sensitive about this. I'm just going to let her go do her thing. And the next morning we woke up, everything was fine. Well, the most contentious subject that Persis and I have talked on, other than in the very beginning with my children and her ex or my ex, just the few things that you have to work out, talking about those things that are from your past, the most consistent thorn for both of us has been our different views and understandings on the Jewish people and Israel, the ethnic Israel versus the spiritual Israel. And Persis and I have some very differing opinions, where I still believe in an ethnic Israel that God has put on the shelf temporarily for a time until the Gentiles have come in, and again, he'll open up some of their eyes as a remnant reserved by grace. He'll open their eyes. And I've never really studied all this and gotten into it, and some people are really into it. Anyhow, Persis sees everything in Israel as totally spiritual. She sees that there is no more such thing as an Israel here. And it's all just the spiritual Israel. And that when the Bible speaks in the Old Covenant of Israel, it's speaking in advance of all of us as a part of it. So she believes that all those promises are not just for an ethnic Israel and the actual tribes and lineage of Israel, but that they are for actually all of us who would become Israel. So when the Bible says there's a remnant, she believes that we're the remnant rather than it being a remnant of ethnic Israel. So we have had some very difficult talks about this. And I'm very passionate to show scripture. And I always go to Romans 11 and say, man, that's being, you know, arrogant. And it says to not be conceited and don't boast over the branches that have been cut off through unbelief. And you do not support the root, but the root supports you. And salvation came through the Jews. Jesus was a Jew, so forth and so on. And that drives her really upset. She heard this message in her churches where she began to believe that the Jewish people were more special, that they were the chosen people and that we were not chosen. Well, in a sense, that's right and wrong. They are indeed the chosen people. And then God later chose to choose us as well because they rejected it. The gospel was turned over to the Gentiles. God turned them over to disobedience for a time until the time of the Gentiles becomes full. And Paul says, as long as the Jews don't persist in unbelief, he's able to graft them in again. And he says, even now there's a remnant chosen. Clearly he's one of the remnant. So I see ethnic Israel and the Gentiles here on earth, two totally separate people groups. Persis does not. She's bringing the, in Christ, there is no Jew or Gentile. And that's true. A Jew who comes to Christ and a Gentile who comes to Christ, there's no such thing as him being a Jew and me being a Gentile. We're Christians. But for unsaved people, there is a people group on this earth called ethnic Jews and Gentiles. And I believe my interpretation of scripture has been is that God says he's going to save these people in the end. In the second coming of Christ, there's a remnant reserved by grace. And it looks to me like, as far as I can see, God is going to, at some point when the time of the Gentiles is full, he's going to open the eyes of a bunch of Jews to come to Jesus. Persis feels like that is giving them a second chance, that is rewarding the rebellious, as she calls it. And she says that she feels like that's a different gospel, and that you cannot come to Jesus, you cannot come to heaven except by Jesus, which I believe 100% now. I never really studied on it. I always kind of just thought, well, the Jews had an old covenant with God, and apparently some of them are still under it, but God is going to save some of them in that old covenant at the end. And now I see that the better understanding of that is nobody can come to heaven and to the kingdom of God except by Jesus Christ, even the Jews. There's not a special thing for them anymore. The special thing for them was the new covenant. And it was brought first to the Jews for 3.5 years through Christ to turn godlessness away from Jacob, to put his law in their minds and in their hearts, to be their God and them be his people. However, around 70 AD, it looks like somewhere in the book of Acts, Paul says, since we brought the gospel to you and you do not seem to deem yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. And so it's like a cutting off after Stephen has been stoned. There's this massive turn away from the Jews with the gospel now to the Gentiles. And there's not much else spoken of Peter's ministry to the Jews beyond that. It's very little. It's mostly now about Paul, the letters 13 of them being Paul's, and him writing to the Gentiles. So it seemed to me always that the Jews are kind of like in this waiting period, and that at some point it seems like, and I could be wrong about this, but that God is going to, after the time of the Gentiles is full, he's going to open back up the eyes of a remnant of Jews, just like he did in Elijah's time, the 7,000 he reserved. That's Father's business. Because the Bible says that on account of the gospel, these Jews are enemies on our behalf. But on account of the patriarchs, they are loved. That means God loves them. And he made a promise to them. And God doesn't make promises he doesn't keep. So anyhow, we have had this really, it's gotten bitter at times where Persis feels like I'm standing against God's truth. She, in her mind, feels God gave a revelation on this and that the Jews are not the chosen people, but that God chose all of us. And again, it's true, but by itself, it's not. The Jews were indeed the first, and they were chosen amongst all the nations of the earth. And I accept that. The Bible says they're the root, not me. Jesus told the woman at the well, "You people do not know who you worship. We know who we worship because salvation comes from the Jews." And so Jesus Christ, coming through the tribe of Judah, himself a Jew, and the kingdom of David reigning forever. Okay, so Persis and I had tangles on this, and when I would defend my position, she would become very upset. And it would always end with her taking it very personal for some reason. Well, I learned that we needed to put that argument away. Well, yesterday, this John Hagee thing came up, and she had watched a message about John Hagee's false preaching that Christ was not the Messiah to the Jews, so forth and so on, and that they don't need Jesus. And I clearly do not believe that. Clearly. So, oh boy, I'm getting ready to get rained on. Father, give me grace here. So anyhow, she watched the video, showed it to me, and I said, yes, I'm in a full agreement with this. And I said, you know, I think what happened was, and I began to tell the story of, from my own memory, what was it that caused me to believe that the Jews were going to again be saved at the end, and it may or may not be through actual faith in Christ. And I looked at the promises and, you know, Jeremiah 31 and so forth and so on, and Paul saying they'll be grafted in again by grace once all the Gentiles have come in. And I was just explaining it to her and basically explaining to her, yeah, I was deceived on some things, thinking that maybe some of them could be saved apart from actual faith in Christ. And I said, but it's not something I ever studied, you know? So anyhow, this, she got quiet. And it showed another level of contempt. And I'm thinking, wow, I'm kind of telling her she's right and I was wrong on this and on this certain part. But I still don't fully agree with her position on this. But in this area, I said, yeah, I can see that clearly Jesus is the only way. Man, I'm going to get poured on.